There are so many hostile enemies of America that have nuclear capabilities. The first thing he does to break down order, to bring final destruction, is he brings chaos. This is all a prelude for the final destruction. Things will go from bad to worse. Men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Nation will rise against nation. And since he uses these tools to bring man into the outer darkness, and that is exactly what's going to be happening.
Rabbi Kurt Schneider, it's great to have you back here on Charisma to share what God is speaking to you about 2025. But before we get into that, we talked last year about what God was saying for 2024. And one of the things you said was that about the spirit of evil manifesting through chaos. Right. And I believe we did see that this last year. And let's just kind of recap a little bit about that.
Yeah. Years ago, I've been saved, John, since 1978. I was supernaturally brought to faith, as many of our viewers know, in a vision of the night as a Jewish person. Shortly after that experience in 1978, I had another encounter with the Spirit. What I saw that night, John, was above anything that my mind could have fabricated. In other words, I saw something that night, shortly after my initial encounter with the Lord in 1978. I saw something that was beyond anything that the human mind could have fabricated. I literally saw into the spirit world. And I saw two spirits. I saw a spirit of white life. The spirit of white life was sealed. It was shaped like an egg. It appeared to be about 3 feet long and maybe about 1.5 feet high. Every part of it was pulsating with life. Every part of the sealed, self-contained spirit of white life that was shaped like an egg was in motion. It was continuously bubbling up newness of life. It was everlasting life. I believe I saw God's uncreated life. I believe I saw the spirit that he gives each one of us that are born again of him. While all around the sealed and self-contained spirit of white life was darkness. The darkness was alive. It wasn't just the absence of light, John. It was a living darkness. The interesting thing is the darkness moved in a completely different way than the spirit of life moved. And I could see the texture of the darkness. The texture of the darkness, the fabric of it, was completely different than the spirit of white life. The texture of the darkness was like a creepy, chaotic randomness. And all I can tell you is I saw into the spirit realm. I saw life and I saw living darkness. I never forgot it. Shortly after I saw into the spirit world that night, I was watching something on television. I don't know what it was, but something bad was about to happen. I don't know if somebody was about to get attacked or what it was. All I know is that someone was about to get assaulted in some way. And as this assault was about to unfold on the television screen, some music started playing through the television set. And I realized, John, when I heard the music, that the music that was leading up to this fearful assault was a musical projection of that darkness that I saw in the spirit world. That it was actually that darkness that was put to the music. So the darkness can project itself into the earth, whether it's through music, through words, through actions, even as the spirit of life projects into the world through God's people and through God's hand in the world. Now, why am I saying this in connection to what I prophesied last year about 2025? The first thing that I noticed about the darkness when I saw the spirit of life surrounded by that spirit of darkness was the movement of the darkness, the fabric of it, was random chaos. The spirit of life had a grace to it. It was like supernatural, beautiful, graceful coordination. But the darkness that I saw surrounding it that was every place else, it was random chaos. And so I believe that Satan, who has come to steal and kill and destroy, the first thing he does to break down order, to bring final destruction, is he brings chaos. Because when you have chaos and you have no order, destruction shortly ensues. But all of a sudden in this last year, since I prophesied in 2024, there's going to be an increase of chaos. All of a sudden this year, I'm going on Google doing a search. And at the top of my Google search, oftentimes I'm seeing AI overview. So now AI is breaking in commonplace. Here's the problem. AI, what an incredible tool. The problem is that Satan takes these advancements of mankind that seem like they're great tools at first, and we bite into them because they make life easier and they're more efficient and they could be used in a helpful way. But over time, what happens is he uses these tools to bring man into the outer darkness. And that is exactly what's going to be happening with AI. AI, although it's an incredible tool, is going to be used of the devil to create such misinformation that people won't know what is true and what's not true anymore. We're already experiencing that. But beyond that, as people are more and more connected to the internet and all the things that are coming to us through the internet, man is being drawn out of abiding in the seat of his own soul, which is where God fellowships with us at, and man is being brought out of that into that outer pseudo world of internet space. And as we move into that internet space, we're going to be captivated and overwhelmed by the darkness, filled with misinformation, being brought out of real relationship. And this is all a prelude for the final destruction that Satan is seeking to bring upon the world.
Wow. You know, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think right now we're in that that experimental spot where it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. But I think eventually it will do what you were saying. And I've heard a lot of people talk about how they project or they can foresee how this can be used as something that would be like leading to the mark of the beast, leading to the image of the beast, giving, you know, having voice and things like that. It is very imperative that the children of God, you and me and everybody watching this, have discernment for what is of the spirit and what is of the flesh or what is of the demonic spirit.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things being stated out there, but I challenge any of our listeners right now to look this up for themselves. This is a fact. This isn't something that I pulled off some internet. You know, this is actual fact. It's written about in Steve Jobs' authorized autobiography. And the first Apple computer that basically made computers the possession of every man, you know, every man's computer. It wasn't just something in corporations anymore. Now, everybody was buying their own personal computer, which Apple was the pioneer in that. The first Apple computer that became the kind of launch pad for personal computers for humanity, it sold, John, and this is a fact. This is a fact. I challenge anyone to look it up for themselves. It sold for $666.66. I don't believe that was an accident. Steve Jobs speaks about that. Why did they sell it for $666? He had no idea it was connected to 666 in the book of Revelation. You think about it. He said it was just a business decision. $666. Now you think of the symbol of Apple computer, a bite out of an apple. What happened? Man took a bite out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He wanted to know everything and be like God. Okay, well, so it's all part of this quest for knowledge that we're getting through the internet. And now we've got all these devices. Think about it. The iPhone. What's the first letter there? I.
Yeah.
The iPad. All the other I devices. There's like five or six of them, I think. All these I. It all starts with I. You know, Satan said, I will ascend. I will exalt myself. I will do this. And I'm telling you, brother, I mean, the writing is on the wall. It's right in front of us, red, white, and blue. And yet we continue to go on like it was in the days of Noah when men were eating and drinking, completely oblivious to the fact that the flood was about to hit them.
And I know this is one of the things that you and I were just talking about, that, you know, where do we go in this conversation? We don't want somebody else thinking for us. We need to be searching the scriptures ourselves. And I think this ties into the unhealthy hunger for prophetic words.
You know, it's so true. I want to say, first of all, as somebody that does hear from the Lord at times, I mean, I came to the Lord supernaturally through a vision of the night. The Lord has spoken to me many times through visions of the night. I hear this voice of the Spirit at times. So I'm very open and very desirous for all the gifts of the Spirit. And I think that anyone that is not open to the gifts of the Spirit is really hurting themselves, because it's hard to be as aware of God as we want to be and He wants us to be if we're not open to the gifts of the Spirit. But unfortunately, I have seen there is such an unquenchable, insatiable desire amongst many of God's people for the next prophetic word that it's like they're being led around by something that really it's not of the Lord. I mean, Jesus said to people that said, "Show us a sign." Jesus said, "It's an evil and perverse generation that seeks for a sign." In other words, we can't just be going from one YouTube video with the next, alert prophetic word for April. Alert prophetic word for May. And we go from one YouTube video to another YouTube video with the spectacular headlines of the next prophetic word. Meantime, 8 times out of 10, I don't know what the number is exactly. The prophetic words don't come to pass. They're not truly prophetic. And yet the prophets never take responsibility too many times for the false prophetic words that they've given that have never come to pass. They just keep moving on, giving the next prophetic word without missing a beat. And unfortunately, this grieves me so much that God's people, they just keep on listening to the same people that kept giving in the prophetic words that never happened. It's like, what is going on? The purpose of prophecy is to lead us to Jesus and to make sure that we're ready to meet him. We can't be giving all our time and energy to watch the next YouTube prophetic word and then the next one without actually getting ready to meet the Lord, which happens by studying God's written word, living by it, crucifying the flesh, living by the Spirit, picking up our cross, living a life of obedience by the grace of the Spirit to the best of our ability, fighting the fight. This is a fight that we're in, and overcoming, growing in love, growing in truth, not just chasing around the next spectacular prophetic word. That is lunacy to me.
Yeah. We don't want to run after every prophetic word. We want to test those ones. And one of the ways that I look at this and test those prophetic words is, does this line up with what God has already spoken to me through his word and through the Spirit? Because prophecy that's out there and that's public, for the most part, should just confirm what God's already spoken to you. That for me is kind of like the first test, but you need to dig in deep and say, does this actually line up with the word of God, the written word of God? And, you know, there's a little bit of a room for interpretation, but there is the truth in there for sure.
For sure. And if you think about this, if you read the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, how much does the New Testament actually talk about any particular world government leader? How much does the New Testament actually talk about any particular country? How much does the New Testament actually talk about politics? Very, very little. On the other hand, when Jesus stood before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." We need to recognize that a lot of the prophecy that people are following around is rooted in a very temporary sphere of life that isn't actually the eternal bigger picture. Governments come and go. Political leaders come and go. We should not be chasing that around as fiercely as many are. Those things are continually changing. What we do know is that the world is going to continue to break down. The New Testament is very clear about this, that darkness will increase, that things will go from bad to worse, that we need to get ready, that we need to prepare ourselves, that we need to study to show ourselves approved. But too many of God's people are following prophecies that are focused on the temporal rather than understanding that our kingdom is not of this world and living a life with the weight of eternity upon us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Rabbi, I kind of feel funny actually asking this next question, but what do you feel that God is saying for the year 2025?
Well, first of all, I want to say personally, I am hopeful. I want to say, despite everything I've said, I'm hopeful. I am hopeful with Donald Trump. I don't know what's going to happen. All I can, I'm not prophesying anything, but I am hopeful. I'm thankful. It seems to me that he's grown a great deal in his wisdom, in his articulation, the way that he's handling himself, the people that he's putting around him as his cabinet members. So I am delighted with the results of the election. I'm delighted with the swing of politics right now. And I think it gives us an opportunity in the United States for self-correction. Will we reach the fullness of the potential that appears to be before us right now? Time will tell how things unfold. We're also in a very dangerous time right now. We're in a time that we've never faced before. We've never been in a time where there are so many hostile enemies of America that have nuclear capabilities, with alliances being formed by the United States' enemies to stand up to us militarily and to be able to try and rise up and say, we're not going to let you push us around. So we're living in a very dangerous time. We should pray for Donald Trump. I'm excited about what's going on, but we also need to recognize, regardless of what happens over the next 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, or whatever it is, we know that eventually what's going to happen is that Paul said, know this, in the last days, evil imposters will come. Things will go from bad to worse. Men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And these words, nation and kingdom, they don't necessarily just have to do with a political, geographical location. It has to do with people's persuasion of mind, like what we're seeing in the States right now with the country divided in terms of what they think is a true vision for America, kingdom. One political camp sees this vision for America. Another political camp sees another vision for America, kingdom against kingdom. Jesus says all these things are going to happen and they're going to increase like birth pangs. It's going to get worse. This is not a time to fool around. It's not a time to just focus on looking for the next spectacular prophecy. It's a time to get seriously rooted in the Word of God. It's a time to separate ourselves from the world to be His witness. And it's a time by the grace of God to live righteously and to make a difference and to take a stand.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking about all this, I'm reminded of what you said at the beginning of this, of our conversation here, where you had this vision that God showed you the spirit of goodness. And then with this white ball shaped like an egg, all encompassed in that or encased in that, and then are surrounded by that was the chaos and the darkness. And we need to be focused and grounded in that good place and that goodness of God so that the chaos around us in the world doesn't distract us and pull us away or pull us into that. If we are grounded in the Word of God, we're going to stay in that safe place. And I'm reminded at the beginning of creation, what does it say? That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit hovered over the waters, the Spirit hovered over the chaos that was underneath it. And that's where we need to rest and reside despite what's going on in the world today.
Very, very well said. I'm thinking, John, shortly after I came to know the Lord, I had a strong encounter with the Father. I knew specifically that this was the Father. Again, it was in my sleep. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. I don't know what to call it. All I know is I never forgot it. But the Lord one night came to me. When I say came to me, I mean all of a sudden I was just in it. And there was like a river of fire. It was literally a river of fire flowing from the Father into my soul, then back to the Father. It was like circling. It was a river of fire. And inside the river of fire, the Father was speaking into my soul in fire. And He was saying to me, seize my word and don't let anything else in. Seize my word and don't let anything else in. Seize my word and don't let anything else in. Seize my word and don't let anything else in. And I was marked by that. But I was confused because I said, Lord, how do I seize your word? Like, how can I seize the entire Bible? How do I seize the entire Bible? I don't even know every scripture in the Bible. How do I seize that entire thing? So I was deeply confused. And I was troubled because I knew that the Father had spoken to me. So I said, Lord, what is your word? And what is the word I'm supposed to seize? Because I can't seize the entire Bible at one time. So then I thought, well, maybe it's the particular portions of the Bible that the Lord is highlighting to me at any specific season in my life. Like, for example, you're reading the word or you hear a sermon and there's a particular part of the Bible that the Holy Spirit is just putting weight on and anchoring your soul in. So we're supposed to really seize that the Father is speaking to us, that He's taking that logos and making it a rhema word to us, to seize that. And I think that's true, that we are supposed to do that when the Spirit is speaking to us about something. That's the word. The Spirit speaks the word. The word is the communication of God. We're to seize it. But then, John, the Lord even gave me further discernment, and He showed me that my word, seize my word, and don't let anything else in. It's the entire Bible. It's the portions of the Scripture that the Spirit is highlighting to us. But beyond that, the word is the Spirit's communication. And a lot of times the Spirit is subtly communicating to us as sons and daughters, something that we're not necessarily hearing a verbal word on, but the Holy Spirit is just beginning to cause us to become aware of something in our life that he's wanting us to change, he's wanting us to move into, and we just sense it, and it grows over time, and we become more aware of what he's saying to us over time. And whatever that is that the Spirit is speaking to us, we have to seize it and not let anything else in. For example, in my life right now, I'm becoming more and more aware just of the impulses of my heart, of my disposition. Like if there's an impulse of anger that's arising because of impatience, I need to put that boundary up. I need to seize God's word of patience and long-suffering, and I need to resist that feeling of anger and impatience, not letting it in. So I seize God's word, patience and long-suffering, and I refuse to let in the spirit of stress and anxiety and animosity that I'm experiencing because I'm frustrated about something. So I'm seizing God's word, and I'm not letting in the darkness, that the projection of the darkness that would cause me to be selfish and impatient in.
Amen. Amen. Seizing that word of God is vitally important, and we need to hold on to that. Don't let anything else in. I love that's what God spoke to you in that encounter, that experience. I don't even know what else to describe it as, but I'm glad that you had the opportunity to have that and that you're able to share that with us. You know, Rabbi, as we're wrapping up here, would you just pray for everybody that is watching this, that they would have that discernment? Because there is a lot of prophetic words that are going out, and some of them are prophetic from the Lord, some of them are prophetic from the flesh, some of them are prophetic from the spirit of this world. Could you just speak specifically or pray specifically for the discernment, especially going into 2025?
Thank you, my friend. Well, I'm praying right now for everybody whose heart is open and hungry and humble and desires the Lord to do something in your life and heart right now as we move in particularly to this next season. So, Father, to every one of your beloved children that is humbly looking to you right now, Father, just wanting you to do in their lives whatever it is, Lord, that's pleasing to you, whatever you want to do. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Father, for loving us. And as we lift our hearts to you, we ask you, Abba Daddy, to circumcise our hearts. Father, circumcise our thoughts. Give us ears to hear. Help us to separate the voice of the enemy and of misinformation and the voice of confusion from your voice. Father, thank you that you're a God of order. And so, Father, we ask you to lead us in the steps of righteousness. God, that you'll help us to have discernment of heart, discernment of motives, discernment of thoughts. Jesus, you said that your sheep hear your voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. And you know that I've lifted this up to you many times myself, Lord. Help us to hear your voice more clearly and to shut the door to the voice of the enemy and to not let any disinformation or dark spirit in. Jesus, we love you today. Strengthen us to seize your word, to love you, to obey you, and to not let anything else in. Help us, Jesus, to abide in you and walk in your steps. We ask you to root us and ground us in the word of God.
Amen and amen.